that the only reaction that you can have is, really, bruh?
Really, bruh? Really, bruh? Really, really.
So we're going to start the first really, bruh segment. And actually, there's so much going on. We're actually going to have two segments. But the first one is going to be about my beloved Carolina Panthers. Oh, my gosh. Man, it's like Minton Moorhead Street right now, man. It's a lot going on down there. It's a lot. Minton Moorhead, you might as well call that Genoa City. I don't know. Some people may not know what Genoa City is, but it's a make-believe town in soap opera land. Mm. And that's basically what Minton Moorhead is right now, Bank of America Stadium. Mm. So what I mean by that is just last night, a story came out, a report came out. The Panthers interim GM, Marty Herney, his ex-wife, he's divorced, but his ex-wife filed a restraining order against him on Friday. She has since retracted the restraining order. However, you know, with the NFL, with their personal conduct policy, they said that, you know, they still have to investigate. So Marty Herney has now been put on paid leave by the Panthers while they investigate this situation with his ex-wife. She said that, you know, he was emotionally and verbally abusive, you know, during and after their marriage, that she feels like either some of him and his cronies have broken into her house. I'm gonna say cronies because Marty Herney doesn't have any boys or thugs. So I'm just gonna say his cronies. Said that, you know, they broke into her house and went into it's really bizarre.
Yeah, they
said
they broke into the house and went where?
And went in the books and like highlighted certain words like you have to read the story. People, you have to read the story.
Savage.
Yeah, it's real crazy. So now, not only has Jerry Richardson stepped away for sexual harassment and racial insensitivity, now the interim GM, who's looking to try to get the job long term, the general manager job long term, he has to be put on paid leave because there are suspicions that he's been harassing his ex-wife.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I get it. Huh? Yeah, you too. Yo, I'm starting a Mr. Me Too movement. A Mr. Me Too movement. Contracts only. If you want to talk to me, contract. It's in writing. If you want me to buy you a drink, sign this contract.
Yeah,
it's in writing.
Sign.
I don't care how magical it is. It better be a magical contract behind that because everything is in writing.
Put the contract. You can even put it on a cocktail napkin.
Exactly. Everything's in writing. Don't even speak to me unless we got a contract.
And listen, we're not being light about the Me Too. We understand these accusations and things that have happened to women over the years are very serious. We're not being light about that. But
the judge dropped the case, right?
He did.
It was false allegation.
What usually happens in the legal system is when lady or man, when they come and file for a restraining order, even if they come back and retract that fouling, you know, the justice system will still look at that. And if they feel that there should be a restraining order, then they'll still enact the restraining order regardless of what the party does.
Right.
So they still looked at everything. And basically the judge said that, you know, he didn't see any evidence of domestic violence. So he basically denied the restraining order, even though she retracted it.
Well, couldn't he? And, you know, I'm not really a Marty Herney fan. I hope this opens the door for my man Jimmy Ray III. But couldn't he possibly sue her for false allegations or anything like that?
I mean, I'm assuming that he could.
Especially if he doesn't get, well, he probably won't get the job now.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole nother conversation. We'll probably have to get back to that. I mean,
really,
just throw it.
Really, bro.
Marty Herney.
Really, bro.
I mean, that's just crazy. Like, I mean, I know he doesn't have total control over that whole situation, but just what this franchise is going through right now, I mean, that's so crazy. And I'll just leave it at this. If regardless of whoever, you know, let's just say hypothetically that he does get the job right now from Tina Becker, who's running the team in the absence of Jerry Richardson. If I'm the new owner, I don't want anything from the past that resembles anything of Jerry Richardson, you know, moving in the future. So even if he did get the job in the interim, I mean, a new owner could come in and still fire him and bring in someone else. So, I mean, it's looking real bad for him getting the job long term. And Marty Herney is definitely the inaugural. Really, bro? So we're going to move on. We definitely, Mad Dog, have to talk about
the matchup of the week,
which is the Duke versus North Carolina game in Chapel Hill. The first of the series. Of course, they play two every year, be the first of the series. I'm a North Carolina fan, tried and true. I go back to King Rice, J.R. Reed, Dante Calabria. I mean, we can go anywhere you want to go. But, I mean, I have respect for Duke and Coach K. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I have respect for him, even though I don't like him. But I have respect for him, definitely. And I just want to get some of your thoughts. You know, Duke is coming off a loss at St. John's this past weekend. Carolina actually won this weekend. They beat Pitt in their last game, but they just broke. That was breaking a three-game losing streak. So both of these teams, you know, in their past five games or so have been kind of shaky. So, you know, what do you think about this matchup of this big game?
Well, you know, unless you are stuck under a rock, even when I was living in South Jersey, I knew that the Carolina-Duke game was a big deal, but I didn't really realize how big it was until I actually came to Carolina. So, you know, pretty much everything shuts down and it goes down around here. So, I really don't have a dog in the fight. I've always liked and appreciate, the Tar Heels. But I think Duke is, you know, they're really good at getting the ball inside. They got those big guys, and Carolina's a little undersized. Even though they got the really big post threat that they have is May, but he's undersized. But he does his thing. I really like his game. UNC is more of the outside shooters. Their 3-point shooters are what's going to help them out in this. But Duke's big guys, they're elite. They lead the country in offensive rebound percentage. And I think it's Marvin Bagley and Wendell.
Carter.
Yes. They are Bagley actually averages a double-double in ACC play. And, I think for UNC, for the Tar Heels, I think the key player besides what's the point guard? Barry. Barry and May, I think an unsung player that's kind of goes under the radar a little bit is Pinson, Theo Pinson.
I
really like his game. He's dealt a lot with injuries.
He has, especially recently.
Right, especially recently. But who they just play?
Pittsburgh.
He went into the point guard position. He's actually their leading assist person.
He is.
And he's a stat stuffer. Like, he just, even though he may not score much, I think he had a pretty good game the game before
the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah, who they played before Pittsburgh?
I believe it was Clemson, yeah.
He got hurt. NC State. He had a good game against NC State where he had 22 points and 15 rebounds. The last game against Pitt, he had 8 assists, 13 rebounds. The game before that, in January the 22nd against Virginia Tech, he had 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 points, Georgia Tech, he had 10 rebounds, 11 points, 3 steals. So he can pretty much do things in all categories. And plus, I may be a little biased because he is from Greensboro, North Carolina, which is where I lived for several years, and I actually worked with his mother.
Oh, word! Shout out to the borough.
To the borough. His mother, Barbara Pinson. She actually, at my last job, she actually hired me where I worked with her for some time before she got transferred over, and she played at UNC Charlotte.
Oh,
she
okay.
Played there, so she's a really cool person, and you know, so I'm gonna, you know, walk the fence again. And, you know, root for.
Well, man, I'm gonna listen.
I'm a root for.
I'm gonna let you get away with this one, but
I'm a root for the Tar Heels, but I think Duke's gonna pull this one out.
I got you. I understand. I mean, to be honest with you, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm not gonna get on our broadcast and just say Duke is gonna win because I'm a Carolina fan, but I definitely agree with you. I mean, there's definitely a difference in talent, within both teams. Duke definitely has the more talented big men. So, you know, I believe what it's going to come down to is if Carolina's big men can defend the Duke big men. And when I say defend, I don't mean hold them to 2 or 4 points because that's not going to happen. But defend them well enough in order for Carolina to be able to win the game.
So this next segment that we're going to bring to you is the song of the week. We want to definitely add some flavor to our show. So we're going to, first of all, we're going to come to you with some real rap, some real hip hop. Not mumble rap. None of that. So we're going to hit you with some real classic 90s hip hop. And this is a shout out to all the Philadelphia people. Let's go.
Wow, when I come through, they can relate to my music, coupled with their problems.